host, Dolores Cannon.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour, and we're live tonight. This is December the 28th. Christmas now is long gone, and we're headed toward the new year. So we are live tonight. And as you notice, the world didn't end on the 21st. We're still here, just trucking along, doing the same things we've always been doing. Because we knew it wasn't going to end anyway.
That's right.
Okay, let me give out the 888, the toll-free number. Anybody that wants to call in tonight. Because we don't really have an agenda. We don't have a guest. I'm going to mostly be answering questions that have come in over the emails. But if anybody out there wants to just join in, this would be a good night just to ask anything you want to ask. We're open to any questions anybody wants to put out. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And, you know, we just returned, got home Christmas Eve. Last week we were in London, and it was for the 21st. We went there for the Ascension Day, and we went to have the premiere, the European premiere of the movie that I was in called Magic Word. And it was really a tremendous experience because we had huge crowds. We took a lot of our office with us. We just thought it would be a good Christmas present to take them all to London. And we had dinner and then the premiere. And the theater was packed. It was really full.
Mm-hmm. It was all very good. Well, it was more than just a premiere. It was a huge event. It was the whole... You know, changing, it was like bringing together the consciousness, the new consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we had a party till 2 o'clock in the morning, and they were going to count down at midnight, but I think somebody forgot about that.
Got sidetracked.
But it was the idea that here everybody said the end of the world was coming, and here we were going to party. We weren't going to sit home with our head under the cover. We were partying in London, and it was really nice because people really liked the movie, and it shows emphatically that there is a market out there for metaphysical movies. And, oh, already got a caller, okay. But that's where we've been this last weekend. The whole week we were in London, and we just got back Christmas Eve. Okay, we got a caller on the line. Who's there?
This is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm from the Chicago area. I have a good friend with Down syndrome.
Okay.
He claims he remembers past lives.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever dealt with someone with Down syndrome who claimed past lives?
Well, they know everybody has had past lives, so it's very possible. Most of the time they claim they don't remember because they're not supposed to have, mental capacity, but I don't see why it couldn't be.
Right. You haven't personally worked with anyone with Down syndrome.
No, I don't, because they have to be able to communicate with me in a way that we can have a regression.
I don't think you've been presented with that.
Nobody has ever brought anyone to me like that.
Right.
Of course, no one has come, but usually it would be a parent or somebody who would bring somebody, but I haven't had anybody with Down syndrome. But, you know, they're very innocent, and I would be inclined to think if they were talking about past lives, they're telling the truth, because I don't think they have the ability to make up things like that.
Well, and what I'm seeing is, you know, many children remember past lives. And
yes.
Then they get knocked down, you know, get censored or knocked down by the adults around them. And so where they are, you know, they tend to not, you know, really grow up. I would believe that's the first thing I saw when she said Down syndrome. It was like, well, there was person that never came out of that. So they kept that innocence, like you said. And so with that innocence kept their memory.
Because usually when you're born, the memory goes away because the veil comes down. But I have had many clients who remember past lives, and a lot of them remembering being on the other side when they were making their plans in the spirit world. And I've had some that remembered being born. And so some people do retain memories of that. And if we have other people, hundreds and hundreds of them, all thousands, probably all over the world, who remember past lives, I don't see why someone like that couldn't remember.
Absolutely. What is this person saying, or what are they remembering?
He remembers being in the Civil War.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Which really surprised me. And he has a light Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
But he insists that he's given me names, and I've tried to look them up, but I've not been successful. But he is very vivid and can recollect quite a few incidents of being in the war.
Well, I think it's very believable. In my first book I ever wrote, we had a past life on the Civil War, and it was on the southern side, you know, the one was the Union and one was the Rebels. It was the southern side, and I tried to look up things and names. We had all of that, but it was really difficult because they didn't keep records that accurately on the southern part of the war. So it had more records on the northern side.
Well, and James Kent, when he was doing the research for his memories,
the book we
published, had a lot of trouble, didn't he, finding anything? So
yeah, his was also Civil War. So they didn't keep records that closely. So I wouldn't be surprised if you can't find any proof of it.
Well,
Did he say which side of the war he was on, or do you know?
He was on the south.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why we had names and dates and everything. The only thing we could prove were big incidences, like big battles, and whenever they were in Tennessee, and when Tennessee seceded from the Union, things like that. But otherwise, the other ones, it was almost impossible to find any proof at all. But I would think I'd have a tendency to believe him.
Did he have a memory of how... Did he die in the war?
Yes, he did.
Did he remember how?
He said he was shot. He did have a wife. He had two children. And that's pretty much... And he said he was with Grant, which doesn't quite parallel with being with the South.
No, but that would be the North.
Thought, right.
But
you also...
Do you remember, did he say what part of his body he was shot in?
No, but he kind of thinks he was a spy.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if he was shot in the head. That would go along with being come back with Down syndrome, because they tend to carry over residues of the way they die in a past life. And it can cause problems in this lifetime. I've had many cases of that, it causing a lot of physical problems, carryovers, residues from the way they died in the other life.
That would make a lot of sense then.
Yeah.
Well, Dolores, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, but I think you should believe them anyway.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It'd be interesting to see what else he remembers. You might encourage him to see what else he remembers there.
I've thought of it for a long time to ask if you have ever had a client with Down syndrome that was so adamant, or if you even had a patient or a client that had Down syndrome.
No, I've never had anyone come to me with that yet. But because they are so innocent, they have a tendency not to invent things, not to make up things. So I would believe he's telling his true memories as far as he, as anybody remembers. You know, a lot of our memories are not accurate even in this lifetime. But it sounds like they're as accurate as he, to him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the accuracy may be off, but I would believe that there's actually something there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think to me it would be more believable.
I just thought I would ask that of you in something new and different to pro subject with, and I do thank you both.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Earth.
Thank you. That's
thank
for
you
sure.
Much.
He loves us all.
Yeah.
Okay. But back to the premiere we had, that was one thing we were doing at the end of the premiere. We were wishing everybody Happy New Earth.
Right.
It's not Happy New Year. We are really moved into something totally different.
Well, and what's coming through right now, and I just got confirmation just before coming here of what I've been saying for over a year now, is it's already done. It's already been done. You'll believe it. You'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah.
And so I think by going ahead and saying that, just saying it to be Happy New Earth, it helps reinforce it's done. You know, get over looking for something, whatever you're expecting to happen, you know, go ahead and just do it. Just know that it's done, and you will start seeing the manifestation of it. So,
because
the evidence of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we said before in our lectures, it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just going to be something real sudden.
No.
It's very subtle, so it's been happening. And if you're looking for something dramatic to prove it to you, it's not going to be that way.
No, but if you would just stop. Oh, boy, this is them talking, okay? If you would just stop. And they're doing this really low.
Okay.
Like, if you would just stop and look. Look around you. Look at how things are. Look at, really look. You will see that things are different. You will see that things have shifted. You will see, it's like, and you almost, you have to look back and then look, and you have to, that's how you can tell.
Mm.
You look back 5 years, 10 years, you can go, oh, you know, things are different. And they are.
Yeah.
They're very majorly different. And that's what you have to do. But they were just like, you have to slow your world down enough to pay attention.
Yeah.
To see it.
But, you know, even when we were in China, in our class, we asked, did anybody feel that things were different? And there were many there that did.
Every lecture we do, we say that, and they do.
Yeah, is there anybody that feels it? And they say there is, and it is subtle. It's not something dramatic. So it's happening all over the world. It's just don't look for something big and dramatic. It's already here.
Well, if you will do that backwards thing, go back, then you will see something big.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we've gone through it day by day, and so you're just in the middle of it and going, well, nothing's different. Well, it is different if you go backwards and look and compare it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll see it. And then it's like, okay, we're here. So now what are you going to do? You're in the new earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're here. Okay, what?
Well, we were in England, so I didn't get to hear the what happened after December 21 when the world didn't end. I was wondering what the people's explanation for it was. Because we had people who were so sure of it. I gave a lecture at a conference this last year during 2012, and one of the other speakers, I was talking to him, and I was talking about all the plans and lectures and things we were going to be doing in 2013. He says, oh, then you think there really is going to be a 2013? So some of them are taking it very seriously. And we're already advertising our two conferences that we're going to be putting on in 2013, one in April and one in July. And we were getting emails from people saying, don't you realize, you stupid people, there isn't going to be any 2013. What are you planning conferences for if it's not going to happen? We're all going to be gone.
But do you see how if we would have just stopped, then that would have created the end? You know, it's just whatever you do creates it. You know, whatever you believe, that's what you create. So that person actually did end their world because they didn't believe. They're not planning anything, so you are ending their world.
Mm-hmm.
See how that,
well,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe the world didn't blow up or anything, but they ended their living process because they didn't make any more plans. They aren't looking forward.
A lot of them sold everything, and
right.
They do
they
that every...
They ended their life.
They
see?
Do that every time. They
mm-hmm.
think they better get rid of everything. Well, on that day, Julia and the other people we took with us got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Stonehenge so they could be there when the sun rose, and
right.
That is the winter solstice. It's a big thing in Stonehenge,
mm-hmm.
in addition to being supposedly the end of the Mayan calendar. Do you want to tell them what that was like?
Well, that was quite an experience. I went to the spring one also, and it was just, but this one was, a lot of interesting characters. It's like a big festival kind of thing that happens, and they have people dressed in costumes, druids, and all kinds of things, and they have people drumming and people doing ceremonies and rituals and everything, and people, you know, it was a combination of really interesting things. And then someone was telling me, and they said, well, you know, you have to understand, a lot of the people that are there, I mean, there were thousands of people there.
Mm.
And a lot of the people that were there to be there for the end of the earth. And it was like,
mm-hmm.
that was just, you know, a lot of people were there celebrating. A lot of people were there, I guess, thinking, well, I'm going to be here at this sacred site for the when it happens. You
when,
know?
When we all do whatever is supposed
right.
to happen.
So it was just a lot of interesting things. The very interesting thing that I found and the group that we were with found, one, there were so many people inside the circle. And on the solstices, you can go. I'm going to let out a secret here. On the solstices, you can get into Stonehenge for free, and you can get into the inner circle. You can get inside. Normally, when you go to Stonehenge, they have it all barricaded off, and you have to walk around it. And you can't get in. You can't touch the stones. You can't get anywhere around them. You can only get in with a private tour group that has to be arranged months ahead.
Like we did last year.
Right, because it's so, you know, long waiting list for that. But this, you can, on the solstices, all the equinoxes, you can come in, you can do the sunrise. You can be there for sunrise. It's like a couple hours that you can be there. And you can get inside the circle, you can touch the stones, you can, you know, do whatever you want there at that time. And so there, here they are, the inside, you couldn't even get in there. There were so many people. And that was the thing, they were actually repelling. And this is what I felt when I went there for the March one, because I had just been there on our private one just before that. It wasn't too long before that.
Last year, we just
right.
about a dozen people.
Right, and it was so beautiful, and we what did it say? The portal that was inside.
We found the portal. This is going to be in my new book I'm working
yes.
about. We activated the portal.
We reactivated the portal, and we did all this beautiful sacred stuff. Well, then when I went there on the spring one, and all these people were in there, and I was up, you know, the stones, and they didn't have the same energy or anything. It's almost like they just turned all their energy inward because they couldn't. It was too many people. It was like they had to just, you know, and it felt like such a I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, because I know when people go there, it's a festival and they're having fun and they have the highest intention. They really do mean best.
But it's a lot of chaotic energy, though.
Exactly. And it came across like, I mean, this is a sacred place, and it just didn't feel sacred, you know, when all these people are there. It almost felt like anti-sacred. I don't know what word there is to use for that, but it was just like this, the stones were just, they were turning away and everything. They didn't want to deal with all that energy. Well, this time, I couldn't even get inside.
Well, like last year, too, we felt the stones were welcoming us because
yes.
we were the only ones there, and you felt
mm-hmm.
a great deal of energy.
Yes, and that, and then on this one, nothing. I mean, it was just like they turned in. It was like they were just trying to, and then when they said, okay, it's time to go, and most everybody had gone, we were some of the last ones. This was at the spring
one. Oh, the spring
then
one.
Then I could feel their energy coming back out. It was like, okay, I can do this. Well, this one, I couldn't even get in the center. There's so many people in there, and I didn't even want to. I mean, I kept trying, and I kept being kind of pushed out. And it was interesting, the group we were with, we were walking around. I mean, Nandi was with our group saying, well, you need to keep walking in clockwise around it. And then
around the outside.
Around the outside, just keep walking clockwise. So we were doing that. And it was interesting, there was this one point, and I meant to find out which, I bet it's some significant point, because it, I think it was, it ended up, sunrise is over, it was almost pointing to the sunrise. So it was, it would be more like a northeast direction.
Okay.
And there was this one spot. It was interesting, every time, there's three of us, every time we got to that spot, it vibrated. And we were all, we didn't talk to each other, oh, here it comes, it was just like, we were just walking, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, and then they all did it at the same time. And then we were being guided to turn our backs to the stones, and across from us was this big mound. I have no idea what this mound was. Mm-hmm. Two of the girls that were with us, I'll just not name their names, but it's two of our people, and all of a sudden, and they are not known for being into all this, feeling all this. So this was really interesting. They were
feeling
all kinds
of stuff.
Yeah,
they're not really into the new.
Well, they're just
stuff.
Discovering this. Okay.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they felt themselves being pushed by the stones, being pushed toward that mound. And they said, I feel a need to go. I said, just follow whatever you're feeling. Just do it. So they end up walking clear out to the mound. And when they would turn around to try and come back, they kept being pushed away, you know, like they're being pushed out to that mound. They went out there, started taking pictures from that point, and all of the pictures came out terribly blurry, and it looks like the stones are vibrating. These pictures are, all the pictures before this were fine. All the pictures after this are fine. Those pictures are like the stones are vibrating. And anyway, they said, there's something about that mound. I don't know what that mound is. And then when they started coming back in, they were, all the pictures kept, I think they had a lot of orbs and had a lot of things. There were just some very interesting things. They were feeling a lot of heat coming off of the stones when they turned the backs to them. So that side of the stone was fine. The inside, we kept trying to get in there and kept being pushed out. So
you could imagine if it is a sacred place like Sedona, that these stones were probably, all the people were giving them a headache, to put it mildly.
Right, yeah. It's like the, like I said, the spring one. I mean, I couldn't even, I didn't feel, because I didn't get inside, so I didn't feel that part of it. It was the outside, and that part seemed to be fine. You know, it was like, but maybe that was the part that was open. You know, on the outside side, you know, all moved that way. I know it doesn't make any sense,
but still.
And then another thing we noticed is there were birds flying. Once the sun came up, it was a gorgeous sunrise. It was the one day it was not raining.
It rained every day.
It was a beautiful, clear sky, and the sun came up. It took it quite a while, but it came up. It was gorgeous, and then it, you know, so it went to a whole other mode. But then we noticed the birds. There were a lot of birds out there, but the birds would not fly over Stonehenge. They kept flying around it.
Ah.
And once in a while, one would try to fly over. It would start to come over, and then all of a sudden it would zoom back over to its group and fly around.
And, you know, when we were there last year, the birds came and just sat on the stones and were right with us the whole time. So they probably were repelled by the energy of all those thousands of people.
There was something going on. I don't know. It was interesting. It was a very interesting group.
So they were up at 3 o'clock to go out there and do that, and you had some good pictures of the sun rising through those one stones.
Right.
And they did all of that, and then they had to come back and get ready to go for the party. Well, first was the dinner, and then the premiere.
It was a very long day. We had planned to take a nap in there. That didn't happen.
Then the party went on to 2 o'clock in the morning.
We didn't get a lot of sleep the night before. We go into this. So if you see any pictures of us from that and we look stoned, it's because we're sleep deprived. We are really, we're not stoned. We're just on overload.
Well, didn't they say they were putting some pictures on YouTube?
They have some on Facebook, on the Facebook page, and they have in different places. They're popping up in different places now.
Well, there were so many photographers there.
Right.
They didn't have a red carpet. They had a blue carpet. So we had to walk that as we were coming in, just like a Hollywood premiere. Mm-hmm. And they said, just pause so they can take your pictures. And it was all the paparazzi. And I kept wondering, I wonder where all these pictures are going to end up. So you may see some of them on the internet.
Yeah, they're coming up on our. In fact, there's one. Yeah, on the Facebook page already. There's been something with the whole series of pictures, like from the night. Not all of them, but like something to give a good feel of the whole night.
Uh huh.
And then there's different ones are coming up. They're being mm-hmm. used. So.
But it really was a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now they said the movie it's been picked up by Warner Brothers for distribution, and it's going to be on Netflix.
Well, that's in the U.S. That was done last.
But it's really going taking
yeah.
off, mm-hmm. and it's going
well,
to be.
Now that's what they're trying. Looking for a European distribution.
And that's why we were there to help mm-hmm. with all that, help the promotion. But the name of the movie is Three Magic Words, and it is an excellent metaphysical movie. If you get a chance, you can check it out on their website, Three Magic Words, the movie.
Right.
There's probably some pictures on that, too.
Pictures everywhere.
Okay. Anyway, now we're home for a while. That seems strange. We've been traveling since summer and hardly home at all, but you know that because the ones that are listening, you've been having all these reruns mm-hmm. of our old shows because we haven't been here. But we'll be here now for a while.
Well, and that experience, if any of you really want to learn how to detach, just start traveling. That will really detach you from your, it'll help you let go of the your day-to-day stuff and feeling like you're in a rut and everything like that. And because you just start traveling, time has no meaning, space has no meaning, you are just moving, and you're in the present. You are just where you are, and so that I think is more of the where they say get into that mode. You really do let go of all your other things. You just do things as you're doing them. You don't really have
plans or whatever.
No, you have plans, but it goes into a different framework. Mm-hmm. So it's just different.
Well, we were in so many different countries too that. Mm-hmm. We don't even know where we are half the time.
And that's what I mean. See, you lose that thing of where you're planted in a place, because that's part of the New Earth thing, is that you are just here. And so, I mean, that's where we are anyway, mm-hmm. but you can't really tell that until you travel. I mean, traveling will really help you get it. So.
Yeah, because... Yeah, it does get surreal whenever you're doing those things. But it is a wonderful experience because we meet so many interesting people and so many different cultures. And people are wonderful everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
Really good people. And there'll be more in 2013. We're going to be going to more places, more countries. And we're lining up a lot more trips.
Yeah, I'll just give a real quick idea. This isn't inclusive. I mean, we're still working on some of them, but we're looking at Turkey and Dubai and South America, South Africa, England, Australia.
Maybe China again.
Yeah, China, absolutely China, Taiwan. I mean, all over the place. This year, I keep thinking it's going to
slow down,
and it just has, I mean...
But I don't want to be gone 3 months at a time like we were when we left in July and didn't get back to October. That was a little too much.
Right, no. Oh, and then the Panama cruise, the class, the level one class on a Panama cruise, that is definitely working itself out. That is going to happen in October. So, everything, it's just this really new and exciting things we're doing this year. So.
This whole year will be gone before we can even bat an eye.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was... we liked the cruises. We went on the Mediterranean
right.
cruise in October, and it was a working cruise.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was, why don't we have a class on a cruise?
Right.
And, you have to have enough days that you can have the class, so it has to be long enough.
It has to be long enough. You have to have enough sea days that you can spend doing in a class, because that's... You can't do them on the days you're at port.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Because then, people want to go ashore. But most cruises, you only have like 2 or 3 days scattered through a week that are sea days. So we had to find something where we could be at sea 5 days, not all together, but at least scattered in there so that we could have a class. We didn't know if that could be done. And I wanted to go somewhere we hadn't been, which is getting harder and harder to find a place we haven't been. And that's what we decided, the Panama Canal.
Right.
So it's going to be a class on the cruise.
Right.
Going through the Panama Canal.
You get a vacation in that you're going on a cruise and seeing some really exciting places, and you get to do the course. So you have two things in one.
Uh-huh.
And they're combined in a way that they're both very complementary. So
that is working out.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we're just finalizing the things now. I may even do, you don't even know this yet, but they'd asked if I would be doing anything, and I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm talking about doing an energy class in China. Maybe I can do something like that, because we have an extra day on the cruise, so maybe I can do that and maybe even do some teaching on the Soul Speak as well.
Yes, whenever we were in China, it was Beijing, I think.
Yes.
Julia was talking to some of the students, and they're very receptive about all of these things. And she was surprised. They didn't seem to understand energy and the way energy works.
Right. And how to feel it, how to work with it, how to do anything about it. I was very surprised because it seems so commonplace anymore. So I just finally said, well, maybe I need to come over and have a class on it. And they were like, yes, yes. So.
Well, it's like they don't even have Reiki over there.
Right. Not in China, yeah.
Not in Beijing and those places.
Yeah.
So they're not used to feeling energy, like energy workers.
Right.
Where they work with energy. They're not used to that. They don't know what it is.
Some did, but not very many.
So, yeah, and she suggested she could come and teach them about energy. Right. They're very enthusiastic.
Right. So I'll be doing that. And I thought I might just do that on this cruise, too. If we have an extra day, we can.
Okay. So yeah, that'd be good, yeah. And it's the same over there. You know, we have an extra day from the class. You can do it in China, you know.
Right.
But we're, you know, the metaphysical world just keeps expanding and expanding. And the people there are very open to this. I think a lot of it has to do with the Buddha religion and the Shinto, because they're very much into reincarnation and into psychic things. That it's just a natural next step.
Right. It's just one thing that we're running into in some of these countries. Okay, that may be, well, some of them, okay, they've been open to some of these things, but then they have this other element in there that gives fear, it's underlying fear, and so then we happen to work with that. And that's different. You know, it's like, so every country, it's a different thing. We have to look at what their culture, what they've been taught, what they, you know, all these different things that are elements that are in there.
Religious beliefs.
Right.
And all of them.
So it's very interesting.
Because, you know, we respect religious beliefs. We never do anything to try to change any of that. That's not our job. But in order to teach what we're trying to teach, we have to understand where they're coming from.
Right. And it's just surprising sometimes because they're going along, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. But then they wham you with this fear. And it's like, whoa, where did that come from? And so, and that's where, you know, it'll just come out of left field because it's something that they've been taught that we were never taught. You know, we didn't have it in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, oh, okay. So.
But then they explain that then we have to understand and try to fit it into what we're trying to do.
Right. And it's just fear. It just shows you all the many faces of fear. That's the thing. Fear is really interesting.
And we're running into it different ways in a lot of different countries. Yeah.
Everywhere. So.
So.
But that's what this time is about, is shedding the fear. So we have to understand what it looks like. We have to understand it so we can let go of it. We have to really, truly get it. As long as we fear it and we don't want to look at it, then it's going to prevail. You know, it'll just get bigger and bigger because it's this big, ugly monster that we don't want to deal with. Well, it's not a big, ugly monster. It just looks that way because we've, you know, when anytime you hide from something and you know, it just gets bigger and bigger. But if you'll just look at it, you actually find out it's only about 3 feet tall. So, and it's actually sad. It's not scary. The eyes are sad when you actually look in the eyes. And then you ask, what is it you're trying to teach me? You've set the situation up to teach yourself something. So
you're thinking of looking at it as an entity.
Yes, it becomes an entity. Because it is. You've created it into an entity, you know. You've made this thing, you know. And so if you'll just look at it, because it's there. You created it to teach yourself something.
It's like everything in our work. What are you trying to teach us?
Absolutely.
And fear is another one. What are you trying to have me learn from you? But some people we've met are absolutely paralyzed by fear.
Right, and that's why, you know, and they're scared to death to look at it. But that you just look at it, you know. And like I said, the first time it was like I was expecting this huge, big, ugly monster, because that's how big this is. Like, this is a horrible thing, whatever it was, this fear, this whatever I was afraid of. And when I actually looked at it, it actually was
little,
like 3 feet tall. It's 3 feet tall, almost like a, you know, the it on Cousin It on the Addams Family, you know. It's like just
Addams Family,
scary,
yeah.
You know? And it's like I could barely see any eyes, but I was like, oh, they're going to be menacing and everything. And when I actually could see them, they were just sad. And it was, and so it's like it was just something, it's just trying to show you a part of yourself, you know. And I think that we're afraid of that part, you know. That's the emotions, and that's all that part that feels uncontrollable. And so we make it this big thing that we don't have to look at, because if we look at it, we may have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's really not as big a thing as we think.
Maybe that's why we make it so big, so we won't look at it.
That's exactly why.
But when you start peeling the layers off like an onion, you find out there isn't anything there to be afraid of anyway.
No, and once you look at it and you start talking to it and you start asking it why, what it wants to teach you, what are you trying to show me, what do you want me to know, disappears. It completely dissipates. And then behind it will be your answers, what it is you're wanting to learn from the whole situation. Because at that point, now you can look at it objectively. The emotions of the fear are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do something.
Yeah, the idea is you control it. It doesn't control you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hmm. But we learn a great deal from all the people we interact with all over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've never had anything negative. The people are just wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we're learning more all the time. But in March is when I go to Istanbul. It was mostly because they were going to have this big conference in 2012. And everything fell through for various reasons.
Well, they had some issues. And
yeah, they had various reasons. And so anyway, I'd already had my ticket and everything, and so they emailed me and they said, or called me too, they bid both, and they said, why don't we just have you come over? Because a lot of people wanted to hear me lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being part of this whole conference, why don't you come over and just do my own thing? So, okay, I'm going to Istanbul, it'll be in March, and I'm going to do 2 days.
Now he's saying one day.
Oh,
so we'll see. I know. It'll be one long day if it's one day. So.
Well, I thought it was going to be 2 long days,
right.
But we're still talking to these people.
It's still being finalized, exactly.
Okay, we're still working it out. But I was thinking 2 days, I'd have to talk about everything in my 17 books.
Right.
And I'm not going to run out of material, that's for sure. But then we go to Dubai, and I've been to Dubai, but that's been several years ago now. And we're going to give a class there.
Right.
They're so close together, we're going to put them both on the same trip. So if anybody is in that area, that's the Middle East. But Dubai is the United Arab Emirates, so they are neutral. And they stayed neutral on purpose. They're not pro or con or anything that's going on in the Middle East. So it's an interesting place, a beautiful city. Julia's going to get to see it for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm excited to.
Yeah. tallest building in the buildings in the world, the weirdest looking buildings in the world.
Well, we've been in a lot of tall buildings lately. I guess we'll just visit them all.
But, like the one in Taiwan, in Taipei, on that we just came from.
Right.
He called it 101 because it has 101 floors on it. And we've been in a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd be in, but these are the tallest buildings in the world, and they're very weird. It's like they gave architects something and said, go out and create anything you want to create. Use your wildest imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. So we'll have a lot to talk about when we get back from over there.
Right.
And Istanbul is going to be interesting. I've never been there.
Yeah, I was there. It was about 26 years ago.
But
I'm sure it's different.
Probably, I was going to say, I bet there's going to be a big difference.
Right.
That was nothing to do with our work, because that was long before we got into this.
Right.
So there's going to be things to see there, too. Okay, but while we're at that, yeah, in February, what are the dates again?
The 23rd and 24th, you'll be doing the workshop with Dee Wallace, the manifestation workshop.
Mm-hmm. In Sacramento, California. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you can sign up for these things. Me and Dee did it's a Create Your Own Reality workshop, a two-day workshop, and we did it in the beginning of this year, and it was really well received, so they said, why don't you take it somewhere else? So they asked us to come to Sacramento, and that's going to be in February. A two-day seminar, and it's a lot of fun, because if you know Dee Wallace, she's a firecracker.
She's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. High energy and really good. Her information that comes through is just dead on, and it's very, very good.
And so it's a fun workshop. And it'll be about how to create your reality. And we teamed up not knowing what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, but it worked beautifully.
Right.
So that's going to be in February. You said you think it's the 24th?
23rd and 24th.
Of February. So anybody wants to find out more about that, and you're in the California area, if you want to come there, the information is on our website.
Right.
Which is Ozark Mountain.
No, it's on the Dolores Cannon website.
Oh, it's on mine.
Yeah.
Be Dolores Cannon.
We'll get it on the other one. The new website will be coming soon, and we'll have it. It may be on there right now, but it's on Dolores Cannon.
DoloresCannon.com. Mm-hmm. But then I go immediately from that to the UFO conference in Scottsdale. This is the one that used to be the one in Laughlin. And I've been there for many years. I think there are 22 years now. I've been there many years when Bob Brown had it. And he sold it to these people, and they're holding it now in Scottsdale, Arizona. So we're going to go there immediately after the one in Sacramento.
Right.
So that's just March.
Janet, you're speaking on Thursday the 28th. If anybody wants to check that out and come and see you.
Then I have to get home because I've got to get ready to go to Istanbul.
Right.
So it's just one thing after the other.
Yeah.
And then April we have the UFO conference that I'm responsible for
right.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting wonderful speakers for that. So in the weeks ahead, I'll be interviewing some of those speakers
right.
on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
The ones we'll have in that.
Right. And we have more information. Through the Ozark site, I'm trying to think if we have it on Dolores, but we probably do. I'm sure we do. We have links everywhere. And then when we have the speakers lined up, all except one are all lined up, and then we're going to start putting information on those, on Facebook and everything on that.
It's the same one that Lou Farish ran, and this is the 26th year. It's just that now we're doing it, and we're not making any dramatic changes except new blood coming in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll be the same format that Lou had all that time. But that's going to be in Eureka Springs,
Arkansas.
And that's a three-day conference. But we'll be talking more about that because we'll have more people coming on.
Right.
The speakers. And I've got... What about the online class? Is that finalizing?
It's finalizing. It's almost there.
But we're doing so many live classes, and, you know, it's very hard, as you know. Look at what I've been doing this year, classes in all these countries. And so it was suggested that we do a class online, and that is coming together.
It's coming. It's 6 months overdue. We were promised it would be live in June, and it's just, you know, anybody that knows computer programming knows it takes longer than what you think it will to get something going, and something of this magnitude, too, also. But they're promising me to be, they've got fire under them now, and they're promising me that we will have it probably within the next week or so.
We're planning it in January, aren't we?
That's next week or so.
Yeah, but
next week is January.
We have a huge interest in it.
Yeah. We have a lot of people on a waiting list to start, but it's very, very close. I spoke to the owner of the company today, and we're honing in on it. We're going to get it done. So.
And it will be the same as a live class, and it'll be divided up. So you want to tell them how it's going to be done, or?
Well, it's online.
Nobody's going to sit there for 3 days.
No, not unless they want to. And it's divided up in parts. We had it recorded. We had one of your classes recorded in 2011. And the way they're done is each section is like what we were doing up to a break. You know, we just had up to a break. And so that's how these sections are of the day, in the course. They're done in sections. So you can watch sections, or you can watch part of sections. I mean, it's at your own pace.
Okay.
You have 2 weeks to do the class.
Oh.
And
I'm learning, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know a lot of this.
I mean, we can't give you forever, but we can give you quite a bit of time. You have 2 weeks, so that way you plan it out yourself. When will I have 2 weeks if it takes me that long? I mean, if you can just sit down with it, you can get it done in the same time that we do a live class. Probably a little faster because you can just go right through the breaks, you know, and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Thinking we would usually have about 2 hours before we had a break. So
right.
We've got two-hour sections.
Exactly. And so you do it at your own pace. You can go back and repeat sections if you need clarification. You cannot skip forward, but you can go back and repeat to understand. And then at the end, so that we know that you really watched it and you understood it, you will have a test. And it's not hard. If you were paying attention at all, you will be fine. You'll pass the test. So, and then with all of that, then it'd be just like you went through one of the live classes. The only difference now is the live classes, everybody breaks up into groups and they practice on each other.
Yourself.
So that's the part that's missing. And then also the live encounter with you.
The live interaction with me.
Exactly.
Because they will see a demonstration.
They will see actually more demonstrations if they want to than a live class. The live class, they get the one video. Here we have like 5 different videos of 5 different demonstrations that were done. So if they want to see more, they can. They can see several. So that way they really get to see the whole process as much as they want. And then again, you can go back and repeat seeing it. Where a live class, you can't do that.
No.
So.
But in the early days, you know, up until this last year, the beginning of 2012, the classes were only 3 days long. And then we turned them loose and said, now go and practice.
Right.
So it'll be like that.
It'll be just like that because that's what the class was.
Yeah, because now we're having them practice 5 days and practicing on themselves.
Right.
And
exactly. But not everybody can get to a class that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can afford the hotel, the travel, all the different things that it takes to be able to attend a live class. Not everybody can have the time off to do all that. So,
that's what we keep hearing on the emails, though there is an interest in
it. Absolutely. So that's why we will do this 3-day class, and then some people, they have no problem getting people to practice on, so that's where then, okay, we learn it and then go practice.
Okay.
And then they go from there. So it's exactly the same class as being taught in the 5-day. It just doesn't have the practicing sessions.
So, like I said, this is totally new. And, of course, the first one will probably have bugs to work out.
Right. Well, that's why I've got to go through it. Probably a couple of us here are going to go through it and test it. That's why I'm trying to get to it to be able to test it. And we will probably allow about 20 people to go through and test the program and give us feedback, make sure we, you know, see what else has to be done there. So then that will help us to get the job done quickly.
Yeah, because, you know, anything the first time you do it, there are going to be bugs.
Absolutely.
So this we're going to definitely be in January.
Definitely in January. I'm trying to get it as early in January as possible. Because I've been being promised it would be live since June.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really.
But then we haven't even been in the States.
No, but it didn't have to be. I didn't have to be in the States to do it.
You've been doing a lot of work on email with the internet.
Right, while I'm gone.
Back
yeah.
and forth, you know.
That's the beauty of the technology now. I mean, it really is a wondrous age that we live in, that you don't have to be any one place to do a job. You can be anywhere in the world and get the job done.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody is working that way. So it doesn't matter. So
that's what we're doing now. That's the next big thing here.
Right.
And for those of you out there who are listening, we've had many people calling in and writing in. And
we have a really good waiting list, people that are just sitting there waiting for it to go live. So
be patient, too, when it does, that if there are bugs and glitches, let us know, because
well, that's what this like I said, the ones that we let come do the testing, that will be part of the requirement to be a tester, is you have to let us know.
Yeah, if there's something not working right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, otherwise, how are we going to know if you've even done the test
or done the class?
Done the class. So we made up a test that
right.
you'll have to do at the end.
Right, because when you're done, I mean, you will go on the site as having completed the class, and we can't just let people just, you know, purchase the course and not take it and then put them on there. So we have to have something that shows that you actually were listening, you were paying attention, you know, you did get the information.
Yeah.
We can't prove it any more than we can prove somebody sitting in the live one, but it's the best that we could come up with, you know, as a test.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But then the end of January, we're having level 2.
Right.
Here in Arkansas.
In Arkansas.
That's the advanced class. But you have to take the level 1 first.
You have to take the level 1, and you have to have had done at least 10 practice sessions before you can come to a level 2. So if you can get this in and do 10 sessions before that time, then you can sign up for that class. It's going to fill up very quickly. These level 2s are filling up very fast. So.
But we've had people try to take the level 2 first. Or take them both together.
Well, or they don't understand why we structure the classes the way we do it, so that people will not try to take level 2 immediately after level 1. You absolutely have to practice this technique. You can't just, it's not one of those things of, oh, I need to get all the information possible before I go do it. It just isn't that way. You have to go practice this. We give you all the tools you need in level 1, then you go practice. And then you come back for level 2. You keep saying, oh, it's my bag of tricks or anything. Well, that makes people think, oh, I need that to be able to go do anything. No, you absolutely do not.
But you really won't get as much out of it or understand it as well as if you haven't had any practice.
You have to practice. You do. I tell people they may not need level 2. I just to get them off of that thought process of I have to have all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may figure it out on your own how to do the steps and the things. It's just a matter of being, of thinking outside the box and allowing yourself to maneuver, and that's all
and
that takes.
A lot of level 2 is the interaction with the people, too, talking about problems they've been having
mm-hmm.
with the technique,
right.
or talking about their cases and things. They're discovering remarkable things.
Right.
But other ones are having problems that can be worked out very easily
mm-hmm.
in level 2.
Right. But for me, what people have said about all these classes, the biggest thing they get out of it is the camaraderie. It's the coming together and sharing of experiences and sharing.
And here they're all making the same mistakes, too.
Right.
You know, This way they can hear I'm not the only one. If I'm, they're all doing it the same way, then they can get a lot out of it. But anyway, it's we got a lot going on.
Right.
Right now we're home for a few weeks, and so we can try to relax.
I've got a book to finish and get out.
That's right, Julia's book, Soul Speak, about the symptoms of the body and what the illnesses and what they mean. That's got to go to the printers.
Yeah, it's got to go within the next week. So I will be here writing all weekend.
So. All week we were in England, in London. She didn't get a chance.
There was no way.
There was just too much going on with the premiere.
You can't do anything. You can't. There's no way. I brought it with me, but there was just no way.
With the premiere and everything. Yeah. So she didn't get to work on it, but now she's got a deadline breathing down her.
No, it's not a deadline. It's a goal. It's what I will do. It's my intent. I'm trying to give me a different word, but it's not a deadline. Remember what they told you about deadline?
Yeah, they said it's a deadline.
Exactly. And that will not be that for me.
Okay, so. But anyway, we never have time to sit home and twiddle our thumbs. Okay, but we're really glad to be back for a while, and we have a lot to do while we're back. But main thing is, Happy New Year. And Happy New Earth, because we have arrived. We are here.
We have been here.
But it's obvious now.
Right.
Okay, we're going to have to go now. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And if you have any questions, check our website. To check on mine, you'll get most of your answers there with DoloresCannon.com. And if you want to email, they can email through that, can't they?
Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's all the contact information.
All right. So, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Earth. Make it great.